internet off. Open in your word to the book of Genesis. Chapter 39. I believe that this is a very, very important message. One that I started couple of weeks ago, but periodically we've been doing the life of Joseph. We've gone through his early childhood, his birth, and then early childhood, his family situations, as he grew into boyhood, and then that relationship that he had with his father and his brothers, and how his brothers turned on him. Now we see Joseph has been sold by his brothers and shipped off to Egypt, where he'd be put like meat upon a butcher's block before the people to be auctioned off. If you can just imagine what that would do to a 17-year-old, it would be crushing to their heart, to their self-worth, to have your family turn on you like that and literally sell you and then be put on an auction block. But through all of that, that we can underline was that he was faithful to God. So I'm entitling this A Faithful Life and all that that means, and that's what we've been walking through. In Genesis 39, verse 9 and 10, when the delicate situation came up in Potiphar's house, this was Joseph's response to Potiphar's wife. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. I told the story 2 weeks ago of the young man that wanted a job as a farmhand, and he was hired on by this elder couple to come and help them on the farm. And the guy asked this young man, this young farmhand, what is your credentials? And he simply said, I can sleep when the wind blows. And then the story told about how he went about doing his business. And he, every day, every night, he would work diligently, putting everything in order before he went to bed. And the old man the older man and his wife, they worried about nothing. because this young farmhand was doing such a wonderful job. But then one night in the middle of the night, the wind started blowing and it was howling literally in the trees, and the rain started beating down upon the house. And the farmer, the older farmer, jumped up and he said, "We got to check to make sure everything's okay." So they run out and they start looking at the short storage shed, and everything was perfect and in order, and everything was safe. All the tools had been put away, and the tractor had been put away. Everything had been moved into the barn that needed to be in the barn. The cattle and all of the farm animals had been put up. Then the old farmer understood what the young farmhand meant when he said, "I can sleep when the wind blows." And the truth of the story is that if we'll do the little things and we'll do them diligently and faithfully, then when the crisis time comes, we don't have to worry and fret and run around, because everything's taken care of. Each day in Joseph's life, he could rest easy because he was faithful in the small things. God said, "When you're faithful in the little things, I'll make you ruler over the much." And Joseph, in his faithful life, was faithful in the small things. When he was at home with his father Jacob, he was a faithful son. Now that he had come into Egypt and he had been sold to Potiphar, he proved that he was a faithful servant, even in Potiphar's house. And because of that, it says that the Lord blessed everything that he did, because he was faithful to God. So we're allowed to see very clearly into that faithfulness of his life. He remained faithful to God. Even in the toughest of times, he would not bend. He would not relent. God wants you and I, above all things, to be faithful to him. Be faithful to his word. He wants us to stay the course and run the race for his glory until that last day when he calls us home. Then we can say, as Paul said, "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've run the race." That's the power that's in that faithful life. So that's point number one. Faithful in temptation. And we never really got into this, but the scripture, Genesis 39, 7 through 9. After the master's wife took notice of Joseph and had said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in this house. Everything he owns has been entrusted to my care. No greater in this house, no one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" There's a context here, a context that I want you to see and I want you to understand. Joseph was a good-looking young man. And not that I would know anything about that, but beauty brings its own set of problems. Some of you can attest to that. Sometimes you have problems if you're really good looking. So I just skipped the problems and decided not to be very good looking. As Joseph ministered in Potiphar's house, he caught the eye of Potiphar's wife, and she began to flirt with him. After a short time, she became brazen in her approach. And she was asking Joseph, come lie with me. But he refused every advance. And she persisted. He would refuse. She would come right back. Then on a certain day, she was in the house alone. And Joseph walked into this situation, just doing his job. And as he walked by, she grabbed him by the outer garment, his coat. And then she cried out, "Lie with me." And Joseph left his garment in her hand and ran out the door. What a smart man. He took off like a scared rabbit. It was this trial by fire, testing his faithfulness, testing who he was. Nobody was around. But it had to be found out. How faithful to God was he? And this was his trial. This was his moment. There are several features about this temptation that would have made it very attractive to a young man to have fallen for it, to have given in to it. This was a temptation, point number one, that was full of desire. This was a temptation that pulled at the very heart of young manhood. The offer from Potiphar's wife was direct. I mean, she drove that nail straight home. It was simple. It was not anything complex. He could have said, you know, God made us with desires. And many people today, that's one of the excuses they use. And many people believe that they have a right to satisfy those desires in any fashion that they want to, at any time that they want to. We're seeing society go down. We're seeing morals fall because of this kind of belief. But most of those people have not asked God for his opinion, because God has a totally different opinion than our culture does. Any sexual expression that takes place outside the boundaries of marriage is either fornication or adultery. I didn't say that. God said that. You got an argument, take it up with him. Don't kill the messenger, please. Either one of those are a sin against God. That's where Joseph was. He said, how can I do such a thing, such a horrible thing, such a terrible thing, such a sinful thing against God? And if you're married, it's a sin against your spouse. But in any case, it's a sin against yourself. Because you've let yourself down. We need to be careful. In 39:9 of Genesis, it says, "My master has withheld nothing from me except you. You are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20 says, "Flee from sexual immorality, and all other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Joseph's response to Potiphar's wife was a response that every one of us ought to adopt when temptation comes knocking on our door. And it does. Sorry, I'm not going to do that. Because it'll be a sin against God. It'd be a sin against myself. It would be a sin against my wife if I have one. Oh, Joseph, point two, was a long way from home. Nobody would have known. That was a part of the temptation. He realized, my brothers kicked me out. They sold me. Now I've been sold again. To Potiphar, and home is so far away from Egypt. And in Egypt, they don't think anything about this. So I could probably do it and get away with it, and nobody would ever know. I'm in a strange land. Sometimes our mind will play little tricks on us and we'll try to rationalize something that's not rationable. Some people have adopted the motto, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. And they live their lives that way. They'll do things out there. A way that they'd never do at home. A young person often will do things at a party that he'd never do in the living room or in the kitchen of his mom and dad's home. Joseph didn't care where he was. He determined he was going to do the right thing in the right way. He determined a long time ago, and this is the key. He determined, I will not violate the trust of my master. I will not violate the trust of my God. Young person, if you've already determined that, before the temptation ever arises, before that snake ever pokes his head out of that opportunity, if you've already determined, I will not, then it's an easy process. But if you want to dither, sit on top of the fence and roll back and forth and just be a little bit unsure. Well, maybe, no, maybe, oh, well, maybe. It makes that temptation so difficult. Joseph just immediately refused to violate the trust. Trust cannot be given. Trust has to be earned. And the more faithful we are with our trust, the more we earn trust. And that trust begins to grow until it becomes a part of our character and our description. One of the greatest compliments anybody could ever give you and say, you can trust that person. My dad walked into the bank in Clewiston, walked up to the president of the bank, and he says, I need about $20,000. And the president of the bank looked over at the head teller and said, give Mr. Emmett $20,000. Do you want that in cash or check? And they gave him a check, and he walked out with it. That was in 1954. Yes, I was already born, and they did have cars and shoes and clothes and running water. In 1981, I called my dad and said, I need to borrow, I forget how much it was now, $16,000, something like that. And he said, well, come on over. And I drove over two and a half hours to his house. And I said, have you got it? I got a lot of things I got to do today. And he said, no, let's go down to the bank. So we drove down to the bank. We walked in. Dad walked over to the president of the bank. And he says, I need to get $16,000 or whatever it was that I was asking for. I can't remember at this moment, but the just like the other one had done, he just turned around and looked at the head teller and said, give Mr. Emmett whatever he wants and however he wants it. Trust. Those men, because my dad had proved himself faithful, they trusted him. And on his word alone, he didn't have to sign anything. But on his word alone, they handed him the money. You don't get that overnight. You don't get that by being wishy-washy. He knew, Joseph knew, my family will never know. My daddy will never know. He could have thought Potiphar will never know because she's not going to tell him. But Joseph knew that God would know, and he knew that he would know. And that was enough to keep him pure. That was enough to keep him on the straight and narrow. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes, the eyes of him of whom we must give an account. He could have left that last part off. But every one of us will give an account for what we've done in this body, what we've done in this flesh. Point three, Miss Potiphar was a beautiful woman. Potiphar was the head of the secret service of Egypt, of Pharaoh. His job was keeping Pharaoh safe. He was a man of renown. He was a man that was known. Those kind of men attract beautiful women. They did then, they do now. Miss Potiphar, from all that's known, was a beautiful woman. Egyptian women are in themselves beautiful. That dark hair and those dark eyes. She would have appealed to a young 17-year-old Joseph. Nowhere in this text does it say that he was repulsed by her, especially by her appearance. Nowhere does it suggest that she was unattractive in any means. Had he given in to her advances, nobody would have ever known. However, Joseph was more interested in pleasing and satisfying God than he was in pleasing and satisfying his flesh. He determined to be faithful. No matter what came down the pike, no matter what was offered to him, he was determined to be faithful. No matter what the personal cost. It was a decision that he had made a long time before he ever arrived in Egypt. It was a decision that was determined long before he ever stepped out of his daddy's tent to go to his brothers on that special day. It was one that he was determined to stand by. Joseph had some conviction, and he had drawn himself boundaries. I will not cross over these. I will stay true. You and I need the same things. Do you have any boundaries in your life? Do you have anything I will not cross? I hope you do. And I hope that you consult God regularly on those things. When the times of temptation come our way, there's not at that moment rational choice. When you're in the middle of temptation and you're wrestling with it, that's not the moment to be making your decision. Make that decision long before that moment. Decide what you'll do and what you won't do now. Point four. It came on the heels of a big promotion. I mean, everything was up and up. Joseph was moving toward the top. What was that show? We're moving on up to the east side. He was moving, yeah, the Jeffersons. He was moving on up in Potiphar. I mean, Potiphar was the man. A lot of people would have assumed that they had arrived if they were Joseph. I mean, Joseph had the Midas touch. Everything he touched turned to gold. He had the favor of Potiphar, who had the favor of the king, Pharaoh. He was kind of the king of the roost at Potiphar's house, if you would. He did as he pleased. Anything I want to do, I can do in this house, except some people might have concluded, I can do no wrong. I might as well enjoy the fruits of my labor. But not Joseph. He said, no, I won't cross that line. That's not where I'm going to go. It would do us well to remember that we are never more vulnerable to temptation than when we've just enjoyed a great victory. That moment of gloating, that moment of feeling, I got it made. When we've been a part of a great victory, We feel like that we can conquer anything. In those moments, temptation and failure are more real and close than at any other moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "So if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Because you're closer to falling at that moment." Point five on this. It came at the perfect time and the perfect opportunity. Temptation usually does. Satan makes sure that he presents it at a time when we're very vulnerable. Potiphar's wife caught Joseph when there was no physical reason why they shouldn't commit adultery. The only thing that stopped it was Joseph's integrity. He stood tall, determined what to do that was right, regardless of what it was going to cost him. You and I need to remember that our enemy is a master of setting things up, laying traps, creating circumstance. He will put us in just the right place at just the right time so that sin looks so innocent and easy. No matter what the sin may be, might be stealing something that don't belong to you, taking something that is cherished by somebody else, maybe telling that little lie to make yourself look better or to get yourself out of trouble. All of those things, Satan makes sure that it's laying right there in front of you. Just the right time, just the right moment. He makes it look so easy that you seem to be a fool if you don't take advantage of it. He'll make sin look like it tastes good. I remind you of something, though. Something that was learned way back in the Garden of Eden by our first parents. All of Satan's apples have worms. Be careful. I would also remind you that the opportunities he gives to sin always lead to disappointment and disaster. You'll be disillusioned and discouraged, and possibly they'll lead to death. Proverbs 13:15 says, "Good judgment wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful leads to their destruction." I would love to go on today, but I've covered some difficult stuff. Wasn't easy, but needful. I'm thankful that God every few years lays this kind of message on my heart, because I need to hear it, and so do you. Am I going to be faithful? Am I going to have integrity? Am I as good as my word? Or am I going to let God down, myself down, let you down, let my wife down? Who am I going to let down? Joseph had God's favor, because of his integrity, his honesty, his faithfulness. You want God's favor? Then you need to do those things. Have personal integrity. Have faithfulness in the things of God. And some of us haven't been as faithful as we need to be. Some of us have let down our integrity. We believe that when the cat's away, the mice will play. If it feels good, do it. I can do whatever I want. That's not faithfulness. And some of us have swam in that pool. Be careful. Disaster's just right there. You say, well, Pastor, if I haven't shown a lot of integrity, if I've given in to temptations, if I hadn't been as faithful to God as I need to be, what do I do now? It's very, very easy. That sorrow of the heart. Cry out to him, God, forgive me for being unfaithful. Forgive me for losing integrity. Forgive me for those things that I've done that's displeasing to you. And God said, I'll take every one of those things and I'll throw them as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up again, because they land in the sea of forgetfulness. You and I can't forget, but God can. And he will. Simply, that's all you have to do. But then what do I do, Pastor? Then you begin. Draw your boundaries. Say, I'm not going over this thing. When you're presented with an opportunity to lie, tell the truth. When you're presented with an opportunity to take what doesn't belong to you, let it lay and walk away. When you're tempted by what the world thinks is okay, but you know is not, just put a halt to it and say no. And run if you have to. But make up your mind now. Bow your heads with me, would you please? God, I know that your word says you never tempt anybody. Temptation is born in our hearts, or it's spawned down in the very heart of hell. God, more than anything, I want to be found faithful. Faithful to you. Faithful to the call on my life. I want to be faithful to your word. I want to be faithful to myself. God, if there's others that are talking to you right now, and like me, they've blown it. They've dropped it. They've stumbled. They've sinned. Would you hear their cry? And as you did for me so many times, would you forgive? And just wipe the slate clean. God, would you be so kind to let us start over again? Put your arms around us and help us make those decisions that need to be made long before temptation rears its ugly head. Search every heart in this place, God, and let your forgiveness flow like springs of fresh water. Let it go into those deep, dark, dank recesses of our experiences. And let that refreshing water of your presence just wash all of that dirt and filth away. And let us be clean before you. And let us be faithful as Joseph was.